Morning to the book of Daniel, the Old Testament prophet of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6. Flannel graph for her Sunday school, and she receives the package in the mail, and she opens it up, and she says, "Oh no, where are the lions?" Because you can't have a Sunday school and not teach this story, and you can't teach this story and not have lions. I bet you every flannel graph set in the country's got some roaring lions with their mouths open. There's two or three things about lions. We know in the Bible the Lord Jesus Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's a good lion. There's no better. We also know that the devil is considered to be a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Our good friend Steve Harris, missionary to Mexico, was raised on the mission field in Africa. And he tells a story about lions and how a lion is so subtle that he can walk through the side of a hut, step over one person, take the next one, step over the third one, walk through the other side of the hut, and no one will even know he was ever there. I can't imagine what it would be like to die. The teeth, the claws, the power. Something to be afraid of. And in the kingdom that Daniel was living in, they had a particular type of execution that would be particularly sinister, and that is they would keep these lions enclosed in a pit, and they would not feed them until they were hungry. And then they would toss someone in, and the lions would devour them. And if you had asked Daniel when he was a teenage boy, "Daniel, what do you hope to accomplish in your life? What would you like to happen when you're 80 years old?" I suspect one of the last things he would have said is, "Well, I just can't wait to be thrown into a den of lions." But as near as we can tell, Daniel was probably in his 80s. If you do the math, it's pretty simple. We know that Darius, the king, is 62 years old. He became the king back in chapter 5 at the end of the chapter. And then in chapter 6, that the date of this event is about 538 B.C. Daniel had been taken captive in 606 B.C., which means 68 years prior to this event in chapter 6. And he was taken captive as a teenage boy. So if he was taken captive at the age of 13, that would make him 81 in this passage. Anybody here 81 yet? Close. You know what? I do not expect to be in a lion's den when I'm 80 years old, but I do know this. As long as we're alive, if we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil's out to get us. In a sense, you're already in a lion's den. This world, the Bible says the devil's the prince of the power of the air. And the Bible says that he walks about seeking whom he may devour. You say, "Well, Pastor, what would keep me from being devoured?" The same thing that kept Daniel from being devoured, the Lord Jesus Christ shut the lion's mouth. So the question today is an interesting one. The question today is not how do you get out, but how do you get in? You say, "Well, that's not my goal." Maybe we look at life the wrong way. Aren't you glad Daniel provided us with a story that we can tell countless children about how God delivers? Aren't you glad Daniel had enough faith that he was willing to serve God in spite of the cost? And you'll see that in this passage. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to begin in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1. I'm going to try to read the majority of the passage as time allows. It's rather long, but please bear with me. And I'll read fast if you'll listen fast, all right? The Bible says in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Father, we thank you today that there was a provision made that delivered us from the law that would have sent us to hell, that the Lord Jesus Christ kept that law and then took our sins upon him and died on the cross so that we could be delivered from the penalty of sin, the penalty of death that the law incurs, and that we could have life everlasting. Lord, today, please help us to pause and appreciate that the way we should. God, to know that we have eternal life is such a rich treasure. We thank you that you've given it to us. We pray now today as we look into Daniel and how he lived his life and the way he viewed life and the way he viewed you and the way he responded when threatened, something so much richer than worldly pleasure or worldly treasure could give. Help us to understand that today and to seek those kinds of things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What would get you into a lion's den? You know, the devil hates you. If you're a child of God, he especially hates you. And he would desire to, as the Lord told Peter, to sift you as wheat. Now, like what the Lord Jesus Christ told Peter, he said, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Have you got faith? I hope you do. I hope we can pray to the Lord to increase our faith. Amen? Because the Bible says faith is the victory that overcometh the world. And looking at Daniel's faith, it's just such a simple story. I trust I can explain it in a way that would be valuable to you. The passage is easy to understand, but let's just draw some things out of here that happened that got Daniel into the lion's den, and you see the difference in you and I with between us and Daniel and between us and the king is we know the end of the story. We know. Oh, I can't wait till next week that king is going to come to that lion's den the next morning, and he can't wait to get there to see. And sure enough, Daniel's safe. But you don't know that yet. Daniel didn't, well, maybe he did. The king didn't know that yet. The enemy certainly didn't know that yet. Yeah, they wouldn't have done what they did if they didn't know. How do you get into a lion's den? How would it be? And again, I just want you to understand, we don't go looking for trouble, but when you serve the Lord, and this is a poor way to say it, but sometimes trouble comes looking for you. A better way to say it would be the devil comes looking for you. You see it time and time again in the Bible. What about Job? God pointed out to the devil that Job was a man above reproach, and the devil said, oh, he'll deny you if you take away what he's got. He doesn't love you because of you. He loves you because of what you gave him. I hope you love the Lord because of who he is, not because of what he gave you. Job proved that he did not love God because of what God gave. He loved God because of who God was, and then God rewarded him. Daniel is a man that the enemy is seeking, and they come in verse 3, and Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. And an excellent spirit was in him. The king thought to set him over the whole realm. Why would that be? It's mentioned two or three times in the passage because Daniel had a spotless record. I envy that. I wish that I could say that. I know you do as well. But in God's eyes, you have a spotless record. Did you know that? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. The Bible says in John chapter 1, to as many as received him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You're a child of God if you've been saved. You're spotless. And the Lord will one day, when you stand before him, he will not see your sins. If you're saved, he will see the righteousness of Christ. You are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, just as one day when he saw Jesus Christ on that cross, he did not see his righteousness, he saw our sins. And so he took our sins upon him and nailed them to that cross, the Bible says, and now we have eternal righteousness because of him. But Daniel had a track record, if you will, a record of service that was spotless. He was trusted, it says in verse 2. He was preferred in verse 3. Because of this, he was hated in verse 4. But in verse 4, his enemies said, you know, we're not going to find anything against this guy unless it's about obeying his God. Because they knew one thing about him that I trust is true about us, and that is, above all else, he was going to obey God. And if there was a conflict between God and man, Daniel would choose God. So they figured that out, and they're subtle, and the devil is subtle, and the devil can get you and I into situations that we would have never tried to get ourselves into. But praise God, he lets us get there for a reason. You, again, I won't belabor the point, but you've told this story to children. If you've ever taught children Sunday school and you haven't taught this story, shame on you. You should have. We should do this one at VBS this year. Amen? God's ability to deliver from horrible things. God can deliver you from horrible things. Right, don't you forget that. So how did he get in the lion's den? First of all, because his pattern was spotless. He was trusted, preferred. He was faultless. In verse 4, it says, neither was there any error or fault found in him. There was nothing about him. He was faithful. He had right motives. You know, just a little side thought here, and I won't be long, but when your employer, whoever you work for, looks at you, they ought to see you that way. Amen? You ought to be that faithful person, the one that's there on time, the one that works hard, the one that takes the welfare of the company. Daniel is serving a kingdom which is not God's kingdom. He's serving a kingdom that belongs to the Medes and Persians. And this fellow is he's doing a job for somebody else, but he's doing the job the right way. When Joseph was in prison, he did the job the right way. When you go to work, your employer should see you that way. He said, here's a fellow that he's not going to do something worthy of death unless we can create a conflict of interest. If we can get a conflict between the king and God, we know who he'll choose. Do people know who you'll choose? Do people know that we would choose God? I hope they do. When you go to work and they say you need to work on Sunday, I choose God. That's pretty easy for me. I work on Sunday anyway. But I was just thinking about it. And, you know, my wife has a job right now, and she told him, I can't work on Sundays. You say, well, Pastor, what if they let her go? Then God will give her a better job. Amen? So that's the first thing you need to do. Have a spotless pattern, as Daniel's pattern was spotless. And so then, the enemy's plot was subtle. In verse 5, we're not going to find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And so in their subtlety, they got together in verse 6, went to the king, and they flattered him, Darius, live forever. And all the presidents and of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Wait a minute. Not all. That's a lie, isn't it? The devil's a liar. The devil will promise you things that he cannot give you. He will promise you things that are not true. And the world will lie to you. The flesh will lie to you. It all began with a lie. In the garden, didn't it begin with a lie? Yea, hath God said, Satan said to Eve, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Well, God knows in the day that you eat of this tree that you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. This is a tree to make one wise. That's what sin is, isn't it? Listen to me, young people. The devil is going to tell you, if you would do that, oh, it would feel so good. It would make you so popular. It would give you such pleasure. Oh, I know God said not to do that, but it's just a little thing. Folks, sin's never a little thing. Because sin nailed Jesus to the cross. Oh, if you would just... Well, you know it's wrong, but it's not that bad. And then he's got you. It all began with a lie. Yeah, we've all got together and we made this decision. No, you didn't. Because if you'd have consulted Daniel, he'd have said no. So they go to the king and they flatter him and they lie to him. And they say in verse 8, now, this is a subtle plot. Establish a decree. Sign this. And by the way, don't forget, when you sign a law, it can't be changed. Do you know that God has made laws that cannot be changed? They're in the Bible. You say, oh yeah, Pastor, I know the Ten Commandments. I knocked on a fellow's door one time and in Salt Lake City, and I was talking to him about the Lord, and I asked him, well, how are you going to gain eternal life? He said, well, by keeping God's law. I said, well, what is God's law? He said, the Ten Commandments. That's technically not true. There's actually 630 or so laws in the first five books of the Bible, but anyway, I let him have that for a minute, and I said, well, you think by keeping the Ten Commandments that you can gain eternal life? Yeah, he said. I said, can you tell me what they are? I know a few of them. Let's see. You know, if I thought keeping the Ten Commandments was going to save me, I'd know what they are. He doesn't really believe that. Somebody told him that, and he echoed it. Folks, the Bible says this, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is a knowledge of sin. The Bible says, to him that worketh, trying to keep that law, trying to be good, trying to change yourself, to him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Say, Pastor, how can I be saved? The Bible says our faith is counted for righteousness. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, and he alone can save you. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. But there was a law written, and that law couldn't be changed. God cannot lie, and God does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus paid the price for your sins because the law couldn't be changed, but the penalty could be transferred. And he died for your sins. Isn't that amazing? A subtle plot. These fellows said, we'll get a law written that can't be changed. But God's got a better plan. And by the way, we understand if, as they thought it would be, if Daniel had been thrown into that lion's den and they had swallowed him up right then and there, he'd have gone to be with Jesus for all eternity. But I learned something when I was young in the ministry that I really got excited about, and I hope I'm still excited about it. God doesn't just deliver us when we die. He doesn't just deliver us when we step into eternity. He delivers us now. Amen? Some of you here have been through situations recently. You've been in some kind of a lion's den, and God got you out. That's how good our God is. He doesn't just deliver us in eternity. And if you're in a lion's den and you perceive it that way, Pastor, I'm in danger. They could get me at any time. And I want you to know something. Not unless Jesus lets them, they can't. Yeah, it was a subtle plot. And then let's look at this 10th verse here. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He knew. He went into his house. He could have shut the windows, couldn't he? You know what's nice about prayer? You can pray from anywhere. You can pray inside a closed closet. You can pray inside a car. You can pray out in the country. I knew a fellow. I've told some of you this story, but it was a long time ago. There was a man in our church in Texas that was blind, and he had been blind since he was a little boy, a little tiny boy, and he was an amazing man. I went soul with him one night, and we were coming back out of a house, and we were walking along on a sidewalk, and about from here to that wall over there, there was a car. We're walking along. He's got my arm. We're on the sidewalk, and he says, now the car was off, and the car was not popping from being hot. It was sitting there perfectly quiet. He says, can you hear that car? I can't hear a thing. He said, there's a car in front of us, isn't there? How'd you know that? He said, I can hear things you haven't learned how to hear yet. And he would go around town, and he used a cane, and he would use the cane, and he was walking across a parking lot one day, and he heard a car, and he walked up to it. The motor was running in this case, and he could hear a police radio, and this fellow would hand out tracts all the time, and he thought, I'll give this policeman a tract. So he walks up to the policeman, and he says to the policeman, how you doing? The policeman says, fine, can I help you? And he says, no, I just wanted to give you this. And then he said, that police radio that you've got, that thing works pretty good, doesn't it? And the policeman says, yeah, most of the time. He says, sometimes it doesn't always, it's not as clear, and sometimes we lose contact. And the man said, you know, I know a form of communication that is flawless. It doesn't require any electricity. It never fails. It's always perfectly clear. And you can do it from anywhere with no equipment at all. And the policeman said, what on earth are you talking about? The man said, prayer. Amen? Daniel didn't have to have the windows open so God could hear him. He had the windows open because he trusted God. And he wasn't afraid of what men could do to him. You see, Daniel's prayer was steady. He just kept on praying the same way he always had. Now, I don't think I have to convince you to pray, but I might need to convince you to pray more. I probably don't have to convince you to believe, but I might convince you to believe some more. A man in our church, he and I, went to a situation very recently, and the Lord impressed upon me somehow, we need to go there and pray. And I think we saw God answer. Yes, there's still more to be done, but I think we saw some results. What can prayer accomplish? What can't prayer accomplish? And you know, you think about it. If you've asked Christ to save you, do you realize what you did? You prayed a prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins. I know I'm a sinner. Please save me. I confess I've sinned and I'm asking you to be my Savior. I believe that you can save me and I'm asking you to. And you just sealed your eternity with Him in heaven. That's a pretty big accomplishment. If prayer can accomplish that, what else can prayer accomplish? Amen? The Bible says if you had the faith, you could move a mountain. Anybody there yet? If you do, let me know. I want to see it. Amen? But so often we just don't think to pray. I think that's the devil distracting us and causing us to doubt maybe or not to believe in the power of prayer. I could go on, but I'll just say it quickly. Daniel was steady. He prayed steadily. And he said, you know, if there's a cost, that's okay. God's got a purpose in all this. You say, well, Pastor, these men have plotted against him. They hated him, and shouldn't that have bothered him? Well, I don't know that he was happy about it, but it didn't change the way he behaved. Don't let your fear change the way you behave. Let the Lord take care of you. Amen? So his pattern was spotless. The plot was subtle. His prayer was steady. And the enemy's persecution was swift. Look at verse 11. These men assembled and found Daniel praying. If men assembled, could they find you and I praying? Well, that's too quiet. That worries me. Say amen. Amen. Could they find us praying? Amen. What if they passed a law that said we could not assemble? What if they said you can't go to church anymore? You cannot worship God in church. You say, Pastor, that could never happen. It has happened. It happened in communist Russia. You say, what's this deal with the Ukraine? It's a bunch of godless people that have a kingdom on this earth, and so they fight for their kingdom on this earth. And in the process, they cause a lot of people to suffer and bleed and die. And I'm not talking about just any people. I'm talking about women and children and babies and innocent people. And those people are suffering because of some wickedness in a godless country. Well, that same godless country back in the 70s and 80s had taken people and thrown them in prison because they would dare to worship God. So as far as I know, it's a true story. I think it was in Czechoslovakia, there were some Christians that were meeting on Sunday mornings, and they would meet in a quiet way. They wouldn't publicize it. They'd come together in this room, and they came into this room, probably the size of this section right here maybe, and they're sitting there, and there's a man going to come up, and he's going to pray, and he's going to teach the Bible to them. And two communist soldiers walked in with guns and said, this is an unlawful assembly. It is illegal. You cannot do this. If you do not leave right now, we're going to arrest you. Four or five people trickled out. The rest of the people sat there, and the soldier said, now, one more time, this is unlawful assembly. If you stay here, you're going to be thrown in jail and possibly even punished more than that. Does anybody else want to leave? And nobody else left. And then the soldier said to the fellow up front, you can go ahead now. Said, what do you mean? He said, well, we're Christians. We just wanted to worship with people that really do love the Lord. I assume it's a true story. It's sure a good story, isn't it? If they told us we couldn't meet, what would we do? You know, there's some people that let the littlest thing keep them out of church. This man said no. So the persecution was swift. They assembled in verse 11, and they came near and went to the king in verse 12, and they said, you know, you signed this decree, and verse 13, that Daniel And who is he? He's of the children of the captivity of Judah. He regardeth not thee, O king. The king knows this is a bunch of hogwash, because after they finally get Daniel in trouble, he tries to get him out of trouble. He knows better. He knows he's been deceived. It's too late. The Medes and the Persians' law can't be changed. So in verse 15, the king commanded, and they cast him into the den of lions. And then in verse 16, I just have to ask myself how serious the king is when he says this. Is this a hopeful saying or a true, certain, confident saying? He says, Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Well, I got news for you. He did. Now, if I was to come to you, Mr. Gonzalez, if I was to come to you, Rick, if I was to come to you, Greg, if I was to say, your God that you serve continually, he will deliver you. He will, amen? Say, well, Pastor, you don't know how big those lions are. I know how big God is. Pastor, he's going to be there all night. God can stay as long as it takes. Well, Pastor, this just isn't fair. They've been tricked. I learned a long time ago, the devil's not very fair, is he? But God sure is. You think God would let you down? Never has, never will. Now, it's easy for me to stand up here and say that. But I made a comment at the beginning of the service during the offering. Horatio Spafford, sailing across the ocean, comes to a place and the captain comes and says, your three daughters are down there somewhere. But do you know, I think Mr. Spafford realized they're not down there, they're up there. And I'll be up there too someday. And that's how he can say, it is well with my soul. Not because he's got all the money and all of everything and everything's going well. No. I can't imagine the pain of losing your entire family except for your wife at one time. And he can say, it is well with my soul. I think he knew the same deliverance that Daniel knew. But I will just say again, God's got a way of delivering us in this life that will surprise you sometimes. And I think God would like for us to have a story to tell of how God delivered us. Has God ever delivered you? Not just talking about salvation. That's a good story. Tell that one all you can. But there'll be some other stories along the way. Don't be selfish about that. There's nothing in this for Daniel. He had to spend the night with the lions. But there's something in it for God. And when you can go to people and say, I have a God that delivered me, you should meet him. He can save your soul. He can guide your life. He can give you purpose when you don't have any other purpose. That's a good God to know, amen? If you don't know him as your Savior, if you never have come to that place to where you trusted Christ and Christ alone, no baptism, no church membership, no good works, just Christ and his death and burial and resurrection to save you from your sins, you need to know that God today. If you know that God that way, like Daniel did, that does not mean there won't be any lions' dens. Fact is, I think it means that there will be some. But the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got a God that will let you get in so he can get you out. That's a good God to serve. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.